诸位菩萨早安哦。
Good morning, everyone.
这个纽约的天气说变就变，然后温差这么大，很多人都感冒了，也请大家多注意保暖。
The weather these days here in New York are very volatile, so please be careful and take care of your health.
Okay. 我们现在进入的是大圣大吉地藏十轮经的第二卷，讲的是地藏十轮。好，那我们已经进入的第二轮，那第二轮也是整部经的修行法门的重点，讲到十种修定，好，修定的方法。那我们之前讲了三种，今天要讲第四种。
So we have been focusing on the Mahayana great compilation of the Sutra of the Ten Chakra of Chittagarbha Bodhisattva. And we have been discussing this, and we have already entered chapter 2, which focuses on the cultivation of samadhi. And we already went over the first three methods previously, and today we're going to start with the fourth one.
Okay. 那前面讲的三种呢，其实非常的不容易哈。如果我们复习一下，我看是这个哈，其实在讲的是这张图哈。就是在讲说我们因为有我跟我所的这个执着呢，然后又那以为因，然后业为良田，就是我们往昔造的所有的业呢，是一个很什么，很有营养的田，一直在滋润那个我跟我所的这个种子的因，然后再加上呢又有无明这个草来覆盖它，来保润它，然后再有我们的这种爱欲呢又在喷水，哇，它就长成一棵大树，这棵大树呢就是我们的业、烦恼跟苦的流，然后这棵大树又产生了很多的果实，就是我们的五趣蕴，然后来让我们呢就是烦恼重重，不能解脱。
SoBasically, the first three methods, we can boil it down to this, illustration. Basically, all our problems rises from having the sense of subject and object. And, which are seeds. And our cause and karma, we can see them as the fertile ground that, provides the ground for the seeds to sprout. Furthermore, because of our ignorance are like a protective cover of this, for the seed of subjectivity and objectivity. And then furthermore, desires, cravings and desires serves as moisturizing water that moisturizes the ground. And because of all these, then the seeds of subjectivity and objectivity continues to grow and becoming this stream of vexations and sufferings, eventually giving rise to the fruit on this tree, which is the fruit of five grasping aggregates.
Okay. 好，那前面三种的修定的方法其实很不容易，因为那是对立根的人讲的，那一讲他一直接看到，然后他能够入定，但对于我们凡夫来讲就没有办法一下子可以入门。那从以下的方法呢，就从见次的方式来教导，帮佛陀教导我们怎么样来修定。那第四个方法它就开始叫做方便，所以就是不是就近的，方便的来修入初习观，来修定。
So the first three methods that we have discussed, they are in fact not very easy to do for us. They are intended for people with very sharp roots who has great capacity for practice. So as soon as these methods are taught to them, they directly seize it and they're able to do it and then enter samadhi. Alternatively, for those of us who doesn't have such great capacity for practice, then we turn to the fourth methods and so on and so forth. These are called expedient methods. They're not the ultimate, the most supreme methods, but they're ways to help us sequentially, gradually move on to the path of practice.
好，那这个方便法呢，就是他取一个比较粗的、比较明显的一个所缘境。好，那这个这边在地藏法门里面就是叫就是修持哈，来去念，来有来有去的这样的一个念哈，它就很明显，然后是我们可以掌握的啊一个所缘境。好，那在这边呢提供的一个最 consistent 最不会断来去哈，就是呼吸。好，那比如说一般哦，车子来的时候就然后走的时候就声音就不见了，它也是一个来去，但是它没有办法成为我们修行的所缘境，因为车子也是不是一直来嘛哈。那唯有那个哪一个所缘境，它能够这样来去，而且一直非常的稳定、持续、不间断的，大概就是只有呼吸。所以，这边就是用呼吸当成持来去念的一个所缘境。
So this fourth method is teaching us to expediently contemplate the inhale and exhales of breath. Basically, it's telling us to attend to a phenomenon that is relatively coarser and more obvious to be observed. And one of these would be our thoughts, or even more obvious manifestation would be our breath. And so what is it? What kind of phenomenon is out there that will allow us to continuously contemplate without cessation? Let's say if it's the sound of a car zooms by, it is a phenomenon of sound, but it's transient, and once it passes, then it's gone, and we cannot use it as a consistent means to practice. So our breath, our inhale and exhale, on the other hand, is something that is consistent. It's always there for us to attend to, and so we can use that as object of our contemplation.
那观呼吸这个方法哈，呼吸当成所缘境呢，在佛教里面哈，即便是印度其他宗教里面呢，也会用呼吸当成所缘境来修持哈。那大乘佛教呢，用这个属习哈来观呢，它就必须要用一个大乘的这个就是以出离心跟菩提心为主哈，来修持哈，不然的话会跟那个其他宗教的修持就没有什么差别了哈。那地藏法门这边讲的这个观呼吸的方法也不例外，是 follow 大乘佛教的大乘的修行。
So this method of contemplating breath is not only used in Buddhism, but it's actually widely used in other religions in India. And so what distinguishes the way it's used and taught in Mahayana Buddhism is this overarching guiding principle of body mind as well as the mind of departing from sufferings. So this is a guiding principle that we have to keep in mind when we practice this method of contemplating breath. Otherwise, it's easy to confuse it with other types of religions.
好，那 用观呼吸好来修行哈，最有名的两个哈，一个就是四念住，好四念处或四念住，另外一个呢就是六妙门。好，那地藏轮经这里面呢哈，讲的一个六个方法跟六妙门很相近。好，那六妙门要讲起来也要讲很久，因为它有不同的方式修六妙门。那这里呢跟六妙门很相近，然后它 的原则呢跟四念处 也不离四念处的 准则。
So with the methods of contemplating breath, two very well known ones are the four mindfulness or the six wondrous methods or six wondrous gates, doors.The six specific methods that's laid out in this sutra is actually closely related to that of six wondrous doors. But the underlying principle is also similar to that of the four mindfulness. So they are in fact quite integrated.
好，那本经提到的哈。属随止跟六妙门是一样的名词。那前三个部分呢是修止，是帮助我们能够达到三摩地。
So the first three is counting breath, following breath, and cessation of breath. And these three are, the terminology is the same as the ones that's used in the six wondrous doors.
那第一个呢是数，就是用数呼吸的方式。那它的功能呢是要来降伏，就是扶助我们巡视，向外巡视攀援的心，然后呢能够呢真正的去抓取到我们的呼吸。那我们呢，其实我们的呼吸一直都在，可是我们很少注意到它，原因是什么？我们的心都是向外，注意这个注意那个，然后要这个要那个，所以没有办法注意到我们的呼吸。像我们昨天默照禅衣一样，你坐在这边的时候，你不是想过去，你就是想未来，你就是不会去注意到呼吸这件事情。那第一个步骤呢，用数呼吸的方式来把我们那个 外放的心收回来，收回来之后，然后能够取，就是说能够 catch 到，就是抓到说，诶，我们有在呼吸哦，呼吸是这个样子的。
So the purpose of this first three method is to cultivate samatha, so that the thoughts, cessations of thoughts. So the first method is counting breath.And the purpose of this counting breath is to help us subdue the seeking mind, and so that we can truly attend to the phenomenon of breathing. Oftentimes, even though the breath is always there, but our mind turns outwardly to external phenomenons. We're constantly thinking about this, wanting that, craving this and that. So we are not able to truly, consistently attend to the breath. So let's take...the one-day retreat yesterday that we had as an example. During the retreat, it's easy to see that constantly we are either thinking about the past or thinking about the future. We seldom really pay attention to the present moment and really tune into the breath. So this first method of counting breath is a way for us to gather and turn the mind inward so that we can at least starting to attend to the actual breath.
好，当我们数息数呼吸呢，数得比较稳定的时候，然后你不会被外境，是外缘拉着跑，然后能够比较安住于这个呼吸的时候呢，那就叫做随息了。那在随息的阶段呢，就是说我们可以舍诸寻视，就是说当我们在的心，就是散取，就是说诶这么多这个杂念妄想跟呼吸的时候， 你的心自然而然会去取呼吸为静，不会跟着外境跑。你这时候你不用用力的，你不会像数呼吸，我得用力一二五，然后哎不见了，然后又赶快再回来一次，你就很用力的，你会用力告诉自己说我要 focus， 我要 focus。到随的时候呢，它是很不用用力，你的心自然而然会去取呼吸为静，那个巡视啦杂念还是有，就当飘过来飘过去，但是你不会去跟它，这时候才叫做随息。
And once the counting of breath becomes stable and you're not either distracted by other external phenomena, then you naturally segue into the second level, following breath. And in this level, the purpose of this method is to depart from all the seeking mind, and you start to very naturally attend to the breath without exerting too much effort. So it's unlike this first stage during counting breath, you actually have to work hard and exert effort to focus on the breathing. Once you start entering the second level of following breath, you no longer have to exert such effort. It becomes very natural. You naturally attend to your breathing, and wandering thoughts still come and go, but you won't be distracted by them, and you will just naturally and easily stay on your breath.
然后随息，如果还能够持续随息，慢慢的呢，那个因为出呼吸的相还是很粗的，那慢慢的呼吸会越来越细，越来越深，越来越细，然后开始最后，然后最后变成说呼吸的这个觉受呢，它不见了。那这个时候心就入于三摩地定静。那这个觉受不见不代表呼吸没有了，就像我们有时候打坐打一打，哎，法师，哎，师父，我的身体不见了，不是没有，你身体还在，但是你身体的觉受不见了，就是你不会被这个觉受来影响了。所以这个时候出息灭，就是你的呼吸的觉受，呼吸不见了，觉受不见了，然后你的心就会安住在一个很定静里面。
And gradually, as you deepen the practice of following breath, gradually this phenomenon of breathing, sensation of breathing, which is still relatively coarse, your breathing will become deeper and more refined and subtle. And eventually, the sensation of breathing will disappear. And the disappearing doesn't mean that you have stopped breathing altogether. It actually meant that the sensation has melted away. You are no longer attending to the bodily sensations. So similarly, during retreat, sometimes people will report and say, Bashi, my body has disappeared. It's not that your physical body has actually evaporated. It's just that you're no longer tied down to the sensation of your body. And by then, you will gradually be able to enter this state of samadhi.
那当然了，在入定的时候，很有可能，因为这时候的呼吸就是非常的subtle，就是非常的细。那有时候呢，感觉上呼吸不会藉由鼻孔进出，它可能是细胞在呼吸，就归息，或是什么的，所以以前公案里面你有看到人家祖师入定，人家以为他死掉，有没有？那要有经验的人就知道他是入定不是死掉，因为你会觉得诶，怎么没呼吸了，这样啊，有遇到没有经验的就真的把你搬去烧掉，就有这样的一个公案嘛。以前国兴法师讲过，就是一个祖师他入定之后就被人家烧掉，回来找不到身体，然后就在闹嘛，然后就另外一个祖师去收妖嘛，就告诉他说，就那个祖师也很有意思啊，就是他们两个其实是好朋友，然后一个决定那样修，一个决定这样修，结果他一入定之后，乡村民不知道嘛，就以为这个法师往生，把他拿去烧掉，那结果他一回来，我的身体呢，我的身体呢，然后就在那边每天晚上在那边闹嘛，然后他的朋友就来就说，哎，这个师兄啊，你去火里面试试看看，找不到你的身体， 他就去火里面，回来说找不到。那他说你去海里面找找看，他又去海里面找，也找不到。然后要他去哪里找，这里找，找了几个地方，通通找不到身体。然后他就跟他说，你现在火不能烧你，水也不能淹死你，你上天下海这么的自由，你还 care 你的身体吗？然后他才恍然大悟，修行不要失措身体。诶，但是人家这是高阶修行者，我们凡夫不要这样乱学。举这个比喻呢，只是跟大家分享说，修行入定要看你定的层次，那个习的这个身体的这种粗糙的这种行为这个现象呢，它就会变得很细，那甚至会鼻息不见的，那就归息或是什么的这样。
So the breathing becomes more and more subtle, and sometimes the outward appearance of breathing through the nostril actually disappears, and some meditators actually enter the state where they are no longer breathing through their nose, they are breathing through each of their cells in their body, and the terminology is the direct translation would be turtle's breath, where it's a very deep level of breathing through your cells. So there are actually a lot of stories, cases in the sutra recording these type of practice. So one of the story that was shared with you earlier was the story of one of the patriarch. He actually entered deep samadhi and he sees this external, very coarse form of breathing, but the villagers didn't know that he's actually not dead, that he has only entered deep samadhi. So the villager took his body and burned it, cremated it. So once this patriarch came back, he's come out of samadhi, he was furious and he created a lot of havoc looking for his body. And eventually the villagers invited one of his friends, also another great master, to come to deal with this. And so this other monk, this good friend monk, then said, well, try look for your body in the fire. So this patriarch went into the fire and came out saying, no, it's not there. And then why won't you try look for it in the ocean? And again, he went into the ocean and said, nope, not there, and came out still furious. And this other master continued to push him to go to these different places looking for his physical body. And no, the body could not be found. So at the end, the friend, who's also a monk, then said, why are you so clinging on to your body? Now the fire cannot burn you and you're not drowned by water, cannot drown you. You can go wherever you want to go. Why are you so attached to your physical body? At that precise moment, this patriarch then became enlightened and ceased his grasping of the body. So, but this story is not telling you to practice like that. It's just showing you a very high level of attainment. It's an analogy to demonstrate there are different levels of practice where one's breathing, which is considered a coarse phenomenon, can gradually become more and more subtle, entering the state of turtle's breath.
然后大圣的修持不是以禅定为目标，所以通常我们不会说就直接入定，然后就定在那里很久很久，而是在发现没有出入息的觉受的时候呢，其实心在某一种的层次的定境的时候，就要开始起观。那这个起观的时候呢，它就能观什么呢？就是观，这时候他观的是入出息境，就是呼吸的这个色法不见了，不是说就色法不见的时候，就是不会被色蕴来控制的时候呢，那心就能够安住在心跟心法上面来做别。就是他的差别相的观察。
But keep in mind, it's very important that the goal for Mahayana Buddhism is never to stop at samadhi. samadhi is not the ultimate goal. Once you have entered this very subtle state, very stable state of mind, then it's important then to continue on and start practicing contemplation. Once this very coarse form of breathing has fallen away, then the mind can zoom in and start focusing on the more subtle forms of the mind dharma.
好，如果你们记得上一次有讲过哈，这个四分说哈，讲心事的时候呢，那初入习境就是说，呼吸的觉受虽然没有了，但是呼吸的那个现象哈，就是色法还在。这个时候呢，如果我们持续观察它，然后我们又发现说，一切色相是唯心所造，不是外面有色法，色法在里面。好，这时候才可能色法断除嘛。就说，因为我们现在都会觉得说，啊，你嘛，他嘛，哈，啊，车子嘛，哈，纽约嘛，哈，就说，一切的我们所存在的环境是外面的色法，物质界的色法。可是到了这个地，到了转的时候呢，好，就是从借由出入习境，把心安住在心跟心法上做观察的时候，就忽然一转哈，发现色法不在外，在内。那这时候就会断，开始方便哈舍，方便 detach 哈，方便不被外界的色法来影响。这时候就所谓的方便的，可以慢慢的这个不被这个五取运哈，尤其是色取运来影响。然后呢，然后只要能够舍色取运哈，色受想行就是跟着来的嘛，所以你就可以方便的舍掉色受想行识的五取运，才可以方便哦，还都不究竟啊，方便的去入圣地。那之前的观是修空观，这里就是修无相观，就是要破除色蕴色法的这个perception 掉。
So earlier on, if you can recall, we discussed the four different divisions, ways of explaining. So breathing, so once breathing as a sensation has fallen away, it has disappeared, but the form itself still exists. And once you're able to see that, then you start to contemplate that all phenomena are actually created by the mind, that it's perceived by the mind. And once you're able to see that, then it becomes easier for you to detach from the dharma, the form dharma. So right now, as we're experiencing the world, we see you, me, the cars, and everything are still very external, and it seems to persist, it seems to be very firm. But the state, the fifth state over here, the transformation state, is for you to really settle your mind, settle your thoughts on the mind and mind dharma. And then gradually, expediently, you will be able to detach from these grasping aggregates and enter the saintly attainment. So in the essence, it's to see that the form dharma is not external. It's within your very own mind. And once you see that, it will become more and more easily for you to stay unaffected by the external form dharma, and then gradually cut off the first grasping aggregates of the form. And as that's the first one, and follows by sensations, perception, volition, etc. Once the first one is cut off, then it will be easier to detach from the rest of the grasping aggregates.
好，所以慢慢的哈，从转的这边，从这个观哈，从外面的观到里面的观，然后到把它。然后就是不执着它，然后慢慢的我们才可以知道什么叫无相。无相不是它没有相， 呼吸还是有一个相嘛，是从一个所缘境里面去了解相的存在到底是什么意，是怎么来的，它是唯心所造的。然后慢慢的在修持之后呢，然后就到静，这里时候就是可以，大家要知道这个还是属于方便法，还不是究竟，不像那个六妙门讲到后来的静。这边就是 能舍，好，一样舍就是还没有断，舍就是有点降服，你不会被它影响。结就是什么呢？结就是佛教讲的十结识，它是十个根本烦恼就能够舍掉，然后就可以真正的看见，真正能够看到什么是那个清净的见解。
So very slowly by contemplating through this contemplation, you see the distinction between external phenomenon and internal phenomena. And by seeing that, you see that everything is ultimately created by the internally, by the mind. And you will gradually practice, be able to detach from the external forms and moving on to the practice of no form. The state of no form doesn't mean that forms do not exist at all, but in fact, it's to understand that all forms and all phenomena are the creations of the mind. And then gradually moving on to the sixth state of purification. At this stage, it's important to make a distinction between this purification in this sutra. It's still considered as an expedient means. Comparing this with the one same terminology that's used in the six wondrous doors, that one is referring to the more ultimate, the most ultimate type of purification. But here, the type of purification we're talking about is that you are at least able to start to detach yourself from the fundamental vexations. And by doing so, you will gain the right view, the pure view to further your practice.
所以在这边如果可以方便修这个六个方法，前面三个是修止，后面三个是修观的时候呢，那这就有建构了一个真正可以再进修的一个基础。所以不会被，当我们不会被这个五取运拉着跑，好，然后我们不会被烦恼拉着跑的时候呢，才有可能来随顺观真正的五取运的本质是什么。
So through this six expedient methods, expedient means, the first three helps the cultivation of samatha, and the latter three focuses on the cultivation of vipassana, contemplation. By doing so, then you are able to construct a foundation upon which that you further your practice. So the purpose of these six methods together is so that we can practice not to get distracted by the five grasping aggregates, not to get pulled away by them, and only by staying firm and not undistracted by the five grasping aggregates, then we can further to contemplate the very nature of the five grasping aggregates.
好，也不能被我们的烦恼牵着跑。
And also not to be distracted by all our various vexations, that we can then deepen the contemplation.
这个在我们日常生活中，包括在禅堂里面，有时候我们因为很安全，没有被打扰的在禅堂里面修持，所以有时候我们可能真的可以观到观到什么了那可是呢，为什么我们一出禅堂之后所有的 power 都不见了呢？因为我们的十种烦恼自生。好，即便有这样的一个一切唯心造，呼吸不见了怎么样怎么样的，但是真正一直到生活当中，或是说你的观照力没有办法持久，是因为烦恼来了， 十种根本烦恼呢，这个一讲可能要翻译，贪嗔痴慢疑哒哒哒十种。一来，所有的东西你没有办法去再真正的观，再深入的观照你所观照的那个的本质。所以在我们修行的功课里面，不仅是说对于我们修行的法门的所缘境需要去修炼，对于我们十种烦恼的降伏跟断除也同样的必须要同步进行。那十种烦恼很难断除，最好最方便最好用的方法就是拜忏。十一月底我们有莲皇宝忏，你觉得自己烦恼很重的，找个空来这边拜忏一下。
So oftentimes in the Chan Hall, when we're sitting in meditation, it may appear that we are able to really contemplate and maybe see something or get a sense of, yes, indeed, everything is created by the mind, etc. But what happens once we exit the Chan Hall, oftentimes we find ourselves not able to use what we have learned in the Chan Hall. And the reason for this is because our 10 fundamental vexations is very deep rooted and we are easily distracted by it. In the Chan Hall, maybe all surrounding is peace and quiet and stable, so we are able to not get distracted. But once we're outside, where real phenomena come at, you know, ambushing us, then it's hard to use it. And so the strength, the power, contemplative power, doesn't last long enough for us to really penetrate the nature of whatever phenomenon that we are contemplating. So it's very, very important for us not only to practice the strength of contemplation, but also practice means of cutting off our fundamental vexations. And when it comes to cutting off vexations, one of the most direct and powerful mean would be repentance, and it's very tangible. So at the end of November, we are having this ceremony, the repentance of Emperor Liang. And so if you feel that you are obstructed by your vexations, then this is a great opportunity. You should try to find some time and come in and to really repent sincerely.
Okay. 然后前面的六种方便方法，让我们能够我们的这个止啊观啊都可以在处于一种不被无取运这个干扰，然后也不会被我们十种烦恼根本烦恼干扰的时候，这时候呢才可以随着它随顺不要说你很作意的要去观它，它已经是随顺的这时候就会进入，就是说叫做如是入习出习，去观，就是如是的观。观什么呢？如是的观，原来入习出习的自信是这样，领纳是这样，取向是这样，造作是这样，了别是这样，这样子在运作的，那它就是摄取运、受取运、想取运、行取运跟事取运的本质。
So once we are able to practice the 6 methodsAnd of samatha and vipassana, it will help us become detached from the 5 grasping aggregates, and also not to be easily distracted by these 10 fundamental vexations. Then, very naturally, keep in mind this always has to proceed in a very natural way. You don't have to force yourself to contemplate. So very naturally, you will begin to contemplate the nature of the 5 grasping aggregates. And by observing the nature of inhale and exhale, you will understand the form grasping aggregates. And to see the receiving, the grasping, perceiving, and distinction of the inhale and exhale, then you start to penetrate the nature of the grasping aggregates.
And vice versa, so on and so forth.
So on and so forth.
就是五个哈。
要念出来吗？
Yeah.
Okay. So the slide. Okay. So by seeing the nature, contemplating the nature of inhale and exhale, we can understand the form grasping aggregates, and seeing the receiving of inhale and exhale, penetrate the sensation grasping aggregates. By seeing the grasping of inhale and exhale, the way it functions, then you start to penetrate the nature of perception grasping aggregates. And to see the functions, the way it operates of the proceeding of inhale and exhale, then you see the volition grasping aggregates. Finally, the last one is to see the distinction of inhale and exhale, then you start to see the consciousness of grasping aggregates.
好，这已经是第五种的修定业轮了哈，就是从第四轮，然后到第五轮的时候呢，你就可以随顺的去观五取运是怎么产生的哈。那接着要讲第六种。
This is already what we just talked about is the fifth method, following by the fourth, which divided into the six different methods. So this is the fifth, and now we're going to move on to the sixth method.
那可以随顺观五取运的时候，就说，诶，这个每一次的呼吸它都有五取运同时存在嘛，那我还要念念的去观。那念念观的时候，如果可以就这里就讲究竟，刚刚都是方便，随顺方便。第六个定轮呢，是就近随观三种行径，就是我们在观这个五取运的时候呢，念念不断的观观观，然后忽然发现说，每一个呼吸各个别异，每一个呼吸的五取运每一个都不一样，而且呢也不相似，然后每一个都是新的，它都不是旧的，然后它都无助，它不会停留在那边，然后它也不会累积，是无法言说的，不可言说的这种，就是等于是我们讲的，就言语道断的这种方，就说一决心去观无取运，然后到发现哇都通通它不是，就是每一个当下都是一个新的开始，而且它都不一样。然后这个时候才能除三行，那这三行是什么呢？就是福、罪跟无作，就是非福非罪。然后这个时候呢，我们才可以讲什么？罪性本空，讲心禅，心若灭时，罪亦亡。
So once you're able to observe the five grasping aggregates in each breath, and you are able to contemplate them thought after thought, constantly observing that with each inhale and exhale, there is the working of the five grasping aggregates constantly. Once you're able to do it simultaneously, then you will be able to enter the sixth stage, which is ultimately contemplating the exhaustion of the three karmic activities. So by observing the five grasping aggregates within each breath, through this type of contemplation, you will be able to then see that each of the five grasping aggregates are in fact distinct, and they are not alike. And each one of them are newly created, non-abiding and non-accumulating. And the interaction of all these aggregates is actually inexplicable and indescribable. So by contemplating the five grasping aggregates in each inhale and exhale, then we'll be able to gradually clear the three karmic activities, which are blessing, offenses, and non-doing, or non-blessing and non-offense.
那因为是不可言说，再加上我也没有到这个层次，所以呢 就不说了呗，免得乱讲哈。但是这里很重要，提出你看，可以断能除三行。我们一般在讲说，哎呦，我要赔福嘞哈，那我罪孽深重嘞哈，那业障深重哈。那到这个地步就知道，哎，福跟罪什么意思？好，然后什么是无作？比如说我刚喝水，喝水有没有罪？没有嘛哈，啊，那喝水有没有福？好像也没有，这个叫做无作啦哈，不是前面讲的那个无怨无作的无作哈，那无作就是说它非福非罪。我们日常生活常来走路也非福非罪，除非你一天你走路的时候就在想说，我今天哈准备要去骂谁，那就有罪啊。就说有一些我们日常生活的行为哈，就像行云流水般的，就是没有罪没有福啦哈，但是。福跟罪是我们常常在修行的时候会提到的，那到这个时候，哎，福跟罪就不是我们想象中的那个样子。那观地藏王菩萨为什么一定要到这里啊？他来告诉我们什么？如何忏罪？那同样的，《赞察善恶业报经》也在讲这个如何彻底的忏罪哈。
So, once we get to this state, well, because it's inexplicable and indescribable, and also because I haven't attained that level of understanding yet, so I'm not going to talk about it much further so that I won't make further mistakes. But still, boils down from what we have discussed so far, once you reach this by...deeply contemplating the five grasping aggregates in each inhale and exhale, we will be able to clear away the three karmic activities. We often, in our process of cultivation, we talk about, oh, I need to cultivate more blessing and I have such heavy karmic obstructions that I need to, clear away. But when we see this, read this sutra, it actually helps make usthink about, contemplate, what is it? What is blessing? What is considered offenses? And what is this neither blessing nor offense? These three different types of karmic activities. So I just took a sip of water. The drinking is probably one of the third categories that neither blessing nor offense. Similar to most of the activities that we do every day, like walking around. Unless you're walking somewhere purposefully to yell at someone, otherwise the walking is probably one of the more neutral ones as well. But this tells us that it's important to contemplate the notions of blessings and offenses as well as the neutral one, because it's very different than the way that we usually discuss it in the Buddhist community.
我们为什么要赔福？为什么要忏罪？我们为什么有罪啊？都在于，不能证得所有一切的现象都是各个别异、互不相似、心心悲故、无助无极。所以呢，你跟这个仇人，就是生生世世的仇人。你跟这个亲，这个你爱的人就生生世世的捆在一起，因为你这个爱，我们不要讲那个细的了，粗的了，哇，今这一辈子恨你恨死了，爱你爱的要死，对吧？那我们要怎么样？海枯石烂，对吧？所以呢，然后就不要讲那细的了。其实你昨天对他的爱跟今天对他的爱已经是不一样的了。然后你昨天对他的恨，彼此的关系其实每一秒都在改变，但是我们会把它就是用放在记忆里面，然后呢就加油添醋，然后就没有办法各个别异，心心非故，那所以我们有福又有罪。
And so the reason why we need to repent, the reason why offenses are created is that because we don't have this right understanding that all these grasping aggregates are each distinct and not alike. They're all newly created, non-abiding and non-accumulating. We lack this clear understanding. And that is why our hatred for someone will last life after life. And when we have desires or love for someone, it also lasts life after life, sort of binding you together as a bunch, not able to become untangled. And so when people are in love, you hear them say that, I will love you until the day the ocean dries up and the rocks will all rot away. But really, we fail to see that the love or hatred you have for someone, the ones that you had yesterday, is already different than the ones that you have for today. The way you love someone yesterday and the love you have already changes from yesterday to today. And yet we hang on to them in our memory and keep embellishing the story and not realizing that each of these are actually not alike, and they're all newly created and non-abiding and non-accumulating.
那另外哦，一个很重要的地方，在地藏经里面有讲哦，当你救度一个众生的时候，是旁边一大堆人跟着得度哦。为什么？我常常会思考这个问题哦，因为以逻辑来讲是蛮不 make sense 的，就说哦。就像说，诶，女儿发愿，母亲就受继承佛，这也好像怪怪的嘛，哈，这因果是怎么说呢？其实，这个要用比较佛教比较高层次的一个理论，哈，来去理解它。但是这个呢，大概只有佛菩萨，哈，因为他们在那个境界里面，他们知道是这样子运作的，所以他们可以什么？天出祈求啊，天出应啊。那最主要是说，当我们在修行的时候，我们都想要呢培福，然后我们想要忏罪，那我们也希望能够到达这个我究竟随观三种行径的哦，将什么罪心若灭时，罪亦亡哦，一笔勾销。但是问题是呢，你有一大堆的冤亲债主，好，你想要一笔勾销？有这么简单吗？所以在我们修行的过程中，我们有重重的障碍，是因为你想要走向一笔勾销的路，但是他不要让你走上这条路，因为他还没有到那个层次。你想这个层次，他在这个层次，他会拉着你，你欠钱还债啊，还债完你再走呗，这也是蛮合理的嘛。好，那要怎么还债？最好的还债呢，不是说我欠你一百万我还你一百万你欠我一百，我欠你一百万齁，我还你一千万的啊，现在哪一个 stock 比较好啊，我给你一千万的 stock， 而且它还会一直涨，那他会不会很欢喜接受？那这怎么还呢？就是法布施是最厉害的，而且这个法布施必须要让他入他的心，是他所需要的。好，那这个就是等于是教你怎么去买卖股票了哈，你的钱放在银行就这么样子的呗。好，那所以就是说，当我们在培福忏罪的时候哈，财布施是比较那个，好，比较要怎么讲，利润比较不高的。法布施利润高一点哈，无畏施哈利润是最高的了哈，所以呢，在我们修行当中，我们还是要 down to earth 哈，没有到这种地步哈，就不要啊，好吧，既然我哈就不认账哈，直接哈 ，sorry， 很难的，在修行的过程中一定要哈什么接。揭谛揭谛波罗揭谛波罗僧揭谛哈，才会菩提萨婆诃哈，就是到彼岸到彼岸，我们一起到彼岸，这是大圣修行的最高精神，不是你自己去彼岸。
So I often wonder in the Earth Store Bodhisattvas sutras, they talk about once you help one sentient being, then all those sentient beings around that person will also receive help, and they will also be saved. I ponder upon that a lot, because I don't quite see the logic behind it. Or there's also stories or sayings that once the daughter makes the vow, then the mother instantaneously become a Buddha. So is this logical?
受记.
So, the mother received the mark to become a future Buddha. But why would the doing of the daughter benefit the mother? So to understand this, the logic behind it actually requires a much higher level of understanding than what we currently have. But we can and that's in the realm of the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas. But what we can derive from discussions of this is that we often talk about, we need to cultivate more merits and we need to clear away the past offenses, right? And there's a saying that once the mind has ceased, and then all the transgressions, the offenses will also cease, will be wiped out. So some of you may think, then that's quick, that's easy, and you try to go that route. But oftentimes it's not, most of the time it's not that easy, because you have all these past enemies that you're, the people that you're indebted to, and even if you want to move toward that direction, they don't want to let you go. And it makes sense because their thinking is probably, hey, you owe me some debt, you should first pay up before you move on. Then exactly how do we pay back to all the people that we are indebted to, that we have made transgression against? So there are different kind of methods. So the best way to repay for the past debt is, if you owe someone $1 million, you better pay back more than $1 million, maybe return by 10 million or in really good stocks, then your enemies will be willingly let you go and continue your practice. So the sharing of Dharma is actually one of these best ways of both repent as well as to repay your past debts. And to share Dharma, you have to do it in a way that it really addresses the need of that person, and so that whatever you share with them will enter their mind and actually benefit them. So when we talk about making offerings and creating more merits, the offerings of money or materialistic goods, those are good, that's great. But comparatively, the interest that is generated, if we're using a finance term, the interest that's generated by making these materialistic offerings is less than if you share Dharma. The Dharma sharing, you generate more interest from the act. And furthermore, if you are able to share and help people become less afraid, then it's even the interest return is even higher. So remember, when you are on your path of practice, we talk about gate, parasanggate, bodhisvaha, is not only for one person to reach the other shore. Quickly, let's reach the other shore. It's not just one person. Let's all reach the other shore. And that is the spirit that you should have in your practice in Mahayana Buddhism.
好, 那, 到这个时候呢, 也就能够怎么样? 就近水观, 哈, 我们这, 那棵树, 哈, 我所, 好, 就是那个因, 所执的业, 与到无名跟爱, 好, 这, 这个根本的东西, 它是, 我们前面讲的是, 是因, 好, 是田, 是覆盖的, 是滋润的, 好, 这, 这个就一切都尽了, 就是就断除, 就这个, 好, 就是, 我所是一种子嘛, 然后业是良田, 无名覆盖, 然后爱来滋润, 这四个主要的一断除之后呢, 这个业烦恼流, 业烦恼苦流, 跟无取蕴, 就自动断除了。
So once you're able to contemplate this sixth method, contemplating the exhaustion of the three karmic activities, then contemplate thoroughly the subjectivity and objectivity of the self and as its karma, as well as ignorance and craving, So contemplate it thoroughly until the seeds, which is the seed of subjectivity and objectivity, and the fertilizing field, which is your ignorance and craving, the karma and causes, and the grass and water, once they have all extinct, then you will reach the right understanding. So referring back to this picture that we see, once you are able to thoroughly contemplate and exhaust this subjectivity and objectivity, ignorance, karma, and craving, then naturally the stream of karma, vexations, and sufferings will fall away.
好，你看，所以我们这个这张图里面哈，在讲我们一生当中哈，这个烦恼的原因啊，那为什么不能断除？那他观的境哈，是究竟观无取蕴哈，这个心非旧哈，这样子，然后来把这个是就因哈田这个富润四个项目断除。
So, again, this goes back to the source of the reason behind all vexations. And the object of contemplation in this method is contemplating, it's the ultimate contemplation of the five grasping aggregates. And by doing so, then all these other sources, the seeds and the fertilizing ground, will eventually be exhausted.
好，那这是第六个修定法门哈，第七个修定业轮，好是说这个时候修四念处才能够圆满，要到这个境界哈。一般我们四念处，观呼吸哈，观说观身不净，观受是苦，观心无常，观法无我哈，然后要修四念处。其实四念处能够修得多深呢？好不知道，但是呢，如果呢，无就我所哈，就是 duality 这个，这叫什么？duality 就是能所哈，不能断。然后呢，无取蕴不能断，这四念处没有办法圆满的哈。那这里就是想修定业轮，这个时候修四念处呢，就会圆满了哈。
And so the seventh method, reaching the perfection of four foundations of mindfulness, it's only until then, after you have exhausted and deeply, thoroughly contemplated the five grasping aggregates, then finally, at this stage, you will be able to contemplate the four mindfulness and to do it in a perfect way. So we often talk about these four different types of contemplation, mindfulness of the body, mindfulness of the feelings or sensations,mindfulness of mind, consciousness, mindfulness of dharma. But exactly how deep is our contemplation? How profound is it? It's really questionable. But so it's very important that it's not until we have exhausted this notion of subjectivity and objectivity, having this dualistic mind, as well as the five grasping aggregates, then we can truly deeply enter the four contemplation of mindfulness.
好，那哇，这个第八哈，这个时候呢，八正道哈，八正道是我们讲四圣谛的时候哈，苦集灭道的那个道。如果我们想要离苦得乐，一定要修八正道哈。那这八正道的内容，上个礼拜我们上个月有讲哈，佛学课程有讲。那八正道其实八个项目就是在修戒定慧。好，那在戒定慧里面呢，以在八正道来讲呢，慧知见哈，慧的项目就是知见跟思维哈是带头的。从这个正确的知见跟思维里面呢，带着我们呢去身口意三业哈，还有呢怎么样精进，怎么样的哈能够修正定。好
，So the eight eight method is related to the practice of a rightful path, and this corresponds with the Four Noble Truths of suffering, cause of suffering, cessation of suffering, and the path. And so it's critical to practice the a rightful path to as a way to practice wisdom, precepts or vinaya, and samadhi. And the A Rightful Path is spearheaded by the by wisdom, which is you need to first have the right view and the right aspiration. Then it leads the way into the actual practice of speech, body, and mind, and eventually leading to the proper, the right type of samadhi.
Okay. 那这边 没有办法有时间讲八正道，但是这边修八正道才可能圆满哦。也就是说，第一个我们讲正见，就是说，当我们接触听闻佛法，讲到苦空、无常、无我，这是一个正见，那我们就必须要正思维，说，佛法上说是无常。那我们来看看世间是不是无常啊？然后我们看他说，真的是无常，我们不要太执着，当我现在很生气，别人骂我的时候，我要正语，不要骂回去，因为我可能没有看到事情的真相，或是他明天搞不好就忏悔了，那我今天就白骂了嘛，人家明天就变好了，你今天干嘛骂嘛，等一下嘛，对不对？那对不对？你也不要一拳就揍过去了嘛，你一拳揍过去他不能去工作，那家里的小孩肚子饿怎么办呢，那你就会从 正见里面，然后你去思维观察之后都变成你的智慧了，然后你就会我们就会去调整我们的身口意三业，那但是呢这个正思维，是非常这个要讲正思维，不是思维而已，这怎么说呢，等一下再讲。
So it's only until you have done all the previous methods until this stage, then the practice of the A rightful path, the Eightfold Path will become, can be perfected and truly be complete. And it starts out from having this right view and right understanding, right aspiration of suffering, emptiness, impermanence, and no self. So it's very important to start out with having these right understanding. So we learn about impermanence, so we go out and observe how the phenomenon of the world is impermanent. And from there on, we learn that we need to conduct ourselves properly to use right speech. So if you today get angry because someone had yelled at you, maybe instead of hitting back immediately, punching that person, then you should, hold back, refrain yourself from yelling back. Perhaps this person by tomorrow's time will feel that, he's wrong and he will repent to you. So you don't have to do anything that's futile and a waste of energy. So on and so forth. By having the right understanding, then you adjust your behaviors, the bodily actions, and adjust the speech and the mind.
比如说我们刚刚讲无常嘛，很多事情其实有的人，他是一个大好人，常常做善事，那可是他，这个命运乖舞，然后你就会觉得说，然后又看到有人，这明明这个人，是伪君子，但呢他每次都 get promotion， 然后又赚大钱，然后你就会觉得说这个世间真不公平，然后你会觉得说佛法好像也没有用处，那这就不是正思维，这是这样的思维是你不能说他错了，因为我们只能看到一辈子，最多看一辈子的事情。可是正思维里面它必须要包含什么，就说三世因果，因果因缘法是不能违背的，那因果因缘法没有违背的状况下，如果我们这样思维就是有点断章取义， 这样子，那这时候你可能对佛法也没有信心，你又不想学佛，然后这样你的后面的戒的部分你就没有办法持守。那另外像我们最近我们有个法师那天因为人家给他多了一件发热的卫生衣，看我常常感冒很怕冷，他说哎呀这件给你吧，那我说好吧，反正多穿几件嘛。那天然后我就很高兴的准备，天气变冷，准备要把它拆开来要穿了，就一拆开来，咦，那怎么不是发热内衣耶，里面呢是一条围巾耶，然后你那个围巾里面呢还大大的把这个法师的法名就是整个就是绣那古时候那个绣就是绣在里面，你还拆不开的你不都贴一个名字标签拿走就算，不是，它是用绣进去的，就是你没办法拆的。然后我就去 line 我们那位法师说，欸，excuse me， 你给我的发热内衣是围巾，而且呢它上面把你的名字绣那么大，我都不好意思用，我说还你吧。然后他就笑笑说，哎呀，我们这个菩萨呢就怕我把东西送人他常常人家他大概结了很多善缘，菩萨让他送他东西嘛，那他看到哪个法师需要他就送给人家，然后这个菩萨就观察，他就善观察说，哎，共生很有功德，但是呢这位法师常常会把东西送人，于是他就想了一招，绣进去看你怎么送人。你们说这是正思维吗？老实说，哎，你们也要好好的思维一下，共生是很有功德没有错，但是请你们给我们需要的东西，但是我们现在什么都不需要，因为我们东西很多，光这个杯子我就不知道几个，围巾也不知道几条，然后还都是很材料很好的那样，哇，cashmere 这样子，我们法师在这个年代已经不是古代那时候，好像很辛苦这样，然后就要给法师饮食衣物什么，我们共生的钱我们都会去买，我们需要的时候我们就买我们要的，可是我们有我们的准则，我们的师父跟我们讲，我们用的东西不可以 above average， 一般老百姓用的东西就这样，你不可以用那个很 luxury 的东西，这违反我们出家过清净生活的原则嘛。然后大家来比较嘛，你是哪一排的 cashmere 对不对，你是哪一排的保温杯，哎呦你的鞋子你的裤子，哎呦天哪，怎么有人怎么都用名牌的，那你这还要修行吗？每天就是这样起心动念啊，这样子，那你们是在护身吗？还是，怎么样？那你们现在是什么，共生捐钱，我们钱够了，我们多的钱我们都还捐出去别的地方，看哪边需要。那这个年代，的出家法师跟以前不一样了，那反而你们送很多东西来我们还得去处理，然后法师们就忙着送出去对不对，送出去之后居士又不好意思说，法师送我这个呢，那送我一个饼，下次我买一盒来，哇更多，然后又本来只是多两个饼送出去就变两盒饼回来，然后要再去送，然后我们每天法师就忙着做这个就好了，礼尚往来，那我们还要诵经拜佛吗，这叫你们要正思维嘛，思维说怎么样让法师这个不要在这个，怎么样让法师能够清净的，好好的修行，那我只是从这个法师的那个围巾上面我就得到了很大的启发，我想说哇这个居士真是就是只是你连用好这样
Speaking of the contemplation of impermanence, sometimes in everyday life, we see people that we deem are very virtuous and generous people, but yet somehow they don't seem to have a very easy life and they go through a lot of obstacles. And then sometimes we see others that they are very pretentious and they don't practice what they preach.And yet these people, they're constantly receiving promotions and have great materialistic gains in life. So on the surface, it seems unfair. And then from that kind of observation, you may start to think that Buddha Dharma is useless. But this is not having the right view, because to contemplate the work of cause and effect as well as impermanence, you actually need to be able to see the think of it in three lifetimes: the past, present, and future. And our ability to see is limited. At most, we can maybe observe a person's entire life, but we cannot see the past and the future. So by just making this very superficial type of observation and leading on to you losing faith of the Buddha Dharma, then it will lead on to maybe you stop practicing and stop upholding the precepts. So this just again illustrates the importance of upholding the right view, that it has to be of a correct understanding. And this brings to my mind a real example that I recently encountered, that one of the Dharma masters passed on a undershirt to me, because I catch cold a lot, and on the plastic cover it says heat generating thermal. And so I thought, okay, I'll take it, because it doesn't hurt to stay warm. But once I open it, it's actually a scarf. And not only is a scarf and not a thermal, cashmere scarf, and it actually has the name of the person who gave it to me, that Dharma master, largely embroidered onto that scarf. And it was done in such a meticulous way that it was very difficult for me to undo the stitches. So I had to then contact the person who gave it to me and saying that, thank you for the thermal, but it turned out to be a cashmere scarf with your name largely embroidered on the scarf, so I can't really use it, so I need to return it to you. And upon hearing this, that Dharma master actually started laughing and saying, oh, you know, the person who gave it to me seemed to have this tendency that that volunteer insists on me using the stuff that she gave. She seems to have practiced observing the way that I do things, and sees that some of the things that she has gifted me that I start giving away and sharing with other people. To prevent that, she came up with this very good tactic by embroidering my names on everything, so that to make sure that I will be the one that's using her gifts. So this makes all of us wonder, is this really the right view? Is this the right view of making an offering? It's similar to these days, a lot of people thinking that making offerings to the Sangha will generate a lot of merit and virtue, so they insist on gifting us with a lot of things, clothing or thermos, food. The thermos I have here, I have not only one, I actually have several. So the kind of life that we are currently leading, this contemporary monastic life here, is very different than what you may have envisioned of the olden time, where the monastic were in dire need of materialistic resources. We actually have enough already, or sometimes you have donated money, and whatever we don't have, we will go and purchase it. And Shifu actually had gave us very firm guideline of whatever that we buy or we wear or we use should not exceed the average standard. So we cannot start using luxury goods because there's additional resource that is not allowed. And also think about it. If we start all wearing cashmeres, and you know, then maybe monastic among themselves will start making comparison, looking, oh, your cashmere is from this brand and mine is from this brand. And making comparisons, looking at checking out each other's shoes and or pants, then how are we supposed to go on with upholding a pure conduct and practice? More other examples are food. We get a lot of food, and sometimes because we have leftover, so we share it with some of the volunteers, and it's adorable. But sometimes we give you two cake, and you may think that, oh, I must pay back doubly. So we give away two extra cakes and we end up having a whole box coming back to us. So day in and day out that we are busy with managing and dealing with all these resources, the food, and then we are not left with much time to continue with our own practice. So anyway, just from this example of the scarf gifted by this volunteer in Taiwan, it actually gave me a lot of inspiration about how important it is to have the right view when it comes to practice of cultivating merit and virtues.
好，那我要顺便再做一下宣导哈。所以我呢，我的正见哈，我就开始正思维了哈。那我们这几年来哈，这个水路网路共修不是占卜吗？然后大家捐钱要买食物来吴哲大师嘛哈。然后就发现太多食物了，因为这个食物占卜之后就变成我们要吃掉，然后要发掉，然后要送掉，然后就变成是 extra 哈，大家就知道哇要吃，把那些东西吃掉，吃的累死了哈，啊送出去也不见得适宜哈。后来我们从去年开始就决定冬令救济，好，大家占卜的钱进来，我们还是会供养丰富的食物哈。来施给无形的众生，好，但是呢，我们不会把所有的钱都花掉，剩余的钱呢，我们要用那些我们想要回向的那些无形众生，帮他们做布施，我们去做冬令救济，好，把功德一样的这个布施的功德回向给这些我们要回向的众生，好，然后呢？我们真正的把钱呢去捐给那些什么难民营啊，好，一些无家可归的人啊，好，或是一些家庭暴力没有办法有家庭温暖的人，好，那把这个钱用在他们身上，这样做不是比我们买一大堆食物好吃还要有意义？那反正我们有食物最主要是要靠观想的，好，我们有食物，我们有辨识真言，好，然后大家一起同心的来共修拜忏，好，做佛事说法给众生听，同时用我们的心念观想，好，七粒米可以骗十方，可以供养无量无边的众生，他们吃的是这个，好，不是说我们要去买 一卡车的米，好，他们才吃得够，好，所以这个资见要正确。那同样的，我们必须把钱去布施给需要的人，所以诚恳的邀请大家，第一个一定要来共修，第二个呢来做占卜，好，占卜哈，第一个施食给众生，然后说法给他们听，第二个我们把钱呢去做冬令救济，好啊，请你们不要再买我们法师不需要的东西来哈。钱要用在刀口上，这样子比较好。
So I continue with my own right way of thinking, right view. So one example is that in the past, whenever there are great 法会还谁是法会呢？
是哎呀 ，Waterland ceremony.
The Waterland ceremony, repentance ceremony. There's this component where we make offerings to all sentient beings, especially to the beings without forms, formless sentient beings. And the way that it was done in the past was a lot of monies are donated to us or people bring a lot of food to make these offerings to the formless sentient beings. And what ends up happening is we end up with so much food that we have to manage it. Either we have to stuff ourselves or sometimes sharing with others, but sometimes giving away doesn't seem very appropriate. So it actually created some headaches. So starting last year, we have changed the practice. With the donations that we receive, the monetary donations, we use a portion of it to still buy ample food, good food, to perform this part of the ceremony, making offerings to form the sentient beings. But there's also another portion that we actually make donations to people in need in the names of these formless sentient beings. So of the hungry ghosts and ghost hell realm, those beings that we are trying to help, we use their names to make these donations. So we have donated to refugee camps, to homeless shelters, to people suffering from domestic violence, etc. And also, it's important for you to know that when we are making offerings to formless sentient beings, the crux is actually contemplation and the recitation of the mantra. It's not about the actual amount of how much you have. So in the text, it says 7 grains of rice will suffice, because by doing contemplating visualization, as well as chanting of the mantra, it's sufficient. And we don't need to buy truckloads and truckloads of rice to feed them. And more importantly, it's about the repentance that we do, as well as the Dharma teaching that takes place that will actually benefit the formless sentient beings. So the bottom line is, it's very important for all of you to come and participate in this practice of recitation and repentance. That's what will benefit them. And also, continue to make offerings to help, but be very judicious of how you participate. And please, it's not necessary. We appreciate it, but it's not necessary for you to buy these different things for the Sangha, because we may not need it. The money needs to be put to use at the place where it's most critical and needed. So that's how we should practice in a wise manner.
好，今天要把八正道哈，怎么圆满讲一下哈？正勤，因为这很重要。正精进，当我们在修行需要精进的时候，其实需要一点智慧。不要三红爆发式的三红爆发式的哈，有没有下大雨三红爆发发生什么事，我们大家都想要到海边嘛哈，然后你如果三红爆发呢，你把那个什么河堤也冲坏了哈，然后还流到乡村民那边，也把人家的房子也弄坏了哈，伤己又伤人哈，就是说你要我们正精进，就是细水长流，然后不断，没有间断。那有一天，虽然路途会经过不同的障碍，但是我们会达到彼岸。但是三红爆发呢，就是一下子非常的精进，然后一下子持戒很严谨，然后就到处去射箭，然后就是然后一下子说这个佛法没有用，然后就拜拜这样。这就不是正精进了，这不是正勤。
We have to complete this discussion of the right, eight right path today. So continuing on with our practice, we also need to exert the right effort. And when we are exerting effort, it also requires wisdom and the right understanding. So do not exert your effort in a way that's like the floodgate has just opened. Because if a flood comes, the floodgate just open, if that's the kind of effort that you exert, then levees will be washed aside, and the flood can harm oneself and harm others. So that's not the right way to practice. Instead, it should be like a steady stream of water, slowly but surely, and it has to be consistent and persistent. And one day, slowly, even if you may encounter obstacles, but one day you will get there, we will get there to the other shore. But instead, if you don't do it that way, if you practice like a floodgate opening, and one day you may suddenly feel like, I need to be more vigorous and start upholding the precept very strictly. Oftentimes when people do that, then they start going around looking at other people's mistakes, correcting others, and actually harming other people's as well. And then after you practice that way, then one day you feel that, you know, you can't sustain it anymore, and you will decide to stop practicing altogether. And those are not the kind of vigor and diligence that is encouraged.
那最后呢，修定齁。再次提醒， 大圣的修持，尤其是汉传禅法修修的定是定慧等持的定，它的一个基础是菩提心。在修出离心的时候的同时，菩提心非常的重要，所以师父在教任何的修行法门的时候会不断的提醒我们一定要发菩提心。如果我们不发菩提心，最多只是入定，入很深的禅定而已，你没有办法起观。然后菩提心发的不够深，观的也不够深广，那所得到的智慧也不够深广，那利益的人就更少了。所以在所谓的正定里面有一个非常重要的就是菩提心。
So, when it comes to right concentration or right samadhi, it needs to be emphasized over and over again. In Mahayana Buddhism, the practice of samadhi has to be a simultaneous practice of both samadhi and wisdom. In this, it's necessary to generate body mind.And Shifu has reminded us over and over again the importance of bringing forth Bodhi Mind in our practice. If you don't bring forth the Bodhi Mind, you may just be stuck in the state of Samadhi, concentration, and not really able to do much with it. And also, without giving rise to Bodhi Mind, whatever you contemplate, it will not be deep and profound enough, and the breadth, the scope of it will not be large enough.So the practice will become shallow and very narrow, and you, in turn, you won't be able to benefit many people. So while you practice samadhi and wisdom, it's very important to bring forth the Bodhi mind of helping others.
好，那我们时间已经到了哈。那十二月，因为十一月大部分时间我要出城哈。十二月的那一次呢，希望把第九、第十，好，还有后面的诵习跟。修福的两个就是把第二品第二卷呢讲完，好，那欢迎大家继续来听。那十一月底有水陆网络共修，欢迎大家来参加。十二月底有什么念佛禅期，好。
So our time is up. There won't be a talk on the sutra next month because everyone is really busy. And I'll be out of town.So there will be one more talk in December, and in that talk, I hope to wrap up the second chapter by finish explaining the ninth and tenth methods as well as the rest of the chapter. But don't forget, at the end of November, there's this Waterland Repentance Ceremony online that you're all welcome to encourage to participate. And at the end of December, there will also be Buddha's Name Recitation Retreat that you're encouraged to come.